Reading from Srimad Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 6, verses 262 and 263. Chapters entitled The Liberation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. 263 is on the board, so I'll read 262. Translation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately pointed out, in that verse, the word muktipade, the word is muktipade, but you have changed it to bhaktipade. What is your intention? So Mahaprabhu is addressing Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and glorifying Lord Chaitanya. He has changed one of the words from muktipade to bhaktipade. So I'll read the previous verse again. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately pointed out, in that verse the word is muktipade, but you have changed it to bhaktipade. What is your intention? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replied, the awakening of pure love of Godhead, which is the result of devotional service, far surpasses liberation from material bondage. Those who adverse to devotional service merging into the Brahman effulgence is kind of punishment, is a kind of a punishment. Purport. In the Brahmanda Purana it is said, Siddha-loka-tu tamasa parayata visantahi siddha-brahma-sukhi-magne-dayasa-cha-harini-hataha. In Siddha-loka, which is Brahma-loka, there live two kinds of living entities. Those who are killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead due to their having been demons in their previous lives, and those who are very fond of enjoying the impersonal effulgence of the Lord. The word tamasa means the coverings of the universe. Layers of material elements cover the universe, and outside these coverings is the impersonal Brahman effulgence. If one is destined to remain in the Lord's impersonal effulgence, he misses the opportunity to render service to the personality of Godhead. Therefore, devotees consider remaining in the impersonal Brahman effulgence a kind of punishment. Sometimes devotees think of merging into the Brahman effulgence, and consequently they are promoted to Siddha-loka. Because of their impersonal understanding, they are actually punished. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya continues to explain the distinction between mukti-pada and bhakti-pada in the following verses. Om Agyan Timidandasya Ginajana Salakaya Chaksun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swampadantika Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimakti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirsesa Sunyavadhi Pastyatya De Satarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Sivasiri Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. In relationship to the topic, there's another verse by Prabodhananda Saraswati where he really heavily criticizes the merging of the living entity into the impersonal Brahman effulgence. He calls it worse than death. And he also calls liberation or glorification of the principle of elevating to the heavenly planets is another kind of imagination. Although you find in the Shastras there are stages and steps and emphasis in places for achieving both the heavenly planets and liberation. And there's a process, and there are people who consider this to ultimately to be the actual goal or the success of spirituality. But here we're seeing that, of course, Mahaprabhu is waiting to hear what Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is trying to, you know, communicate by doing this. And ultimately we get into a real nice discussion between what is bhakti and what is mukti. Mukti, of course, there are different types of mukti. And there are mukti which is, what we say, acceptable for Vaishnavas. That's what Lord, going to the planet where Krishna is, having the same bodily features of Krishna, having the same opulence as Krishna, being in the association of Krishna directly. And then ultimately, I think here what is being mentioned and which is being, what we say, rejected is the Sahuja Mukti, or that which is merging into the bodily effulgence of the Lord. It mentions also that even the demons get such, you know, benefit. If one is a demon and somehow is killed by Krishna, they get that benefit. In other words, they get some temporary relief of material existence and some happiness that comes with that temporary relief, which is another form of illusion, because happiness that comes by relief of suffering is not really happiness. That's what material happiness is about. It's about getting relief from suffering. And liberation is the ultimate principle of that type of relief. But for a devotee, as Prabodhananda Saraswati says, it's worse than death. Why? Because in the Nectar of Devotion, in the very first chapter, it mentions that if you multiply the happiness of mukti millions of times, it doesn't equal one drop of the happiness of bhakti. Bhakti is like an unlimited ocean of unlimited happiness. And it connects one with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, where mukti actually doesn't. Even if you connect with Krishna as a demon, that's better than getting liberation and not having Krishna. Because at least you get Krishna's association. So in this particular discussion, you'll see, one of the things that Lord Chaitanya is really pointing out, which is interesting, is why did you change the verse? You can't do that. These are verses in the Shastra, and they cannot be changed by us. But because of his ecstasy and his deep understanding after being purified by the association and by the instructions of Lord Chaitanya, he was a big Mayavadi, so big that he was recognized as the best of all the Mayavadis. And he had such reputation. And obviously there is some pleasure in that. But now he's like completely rejected all of that. Why? Just a drop of bhakti is so powerful. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita says, I'm standing on the ocean of the shore of love of God, which is the ocean of pure bhakti. I am trying to get one of those drops of that ocean, and that ocean is so deep and so unlimited and so full of nectar that even one drop can drown one in love of God. Powerful. Bhakti is not different than Radharani. It is Radharani's energy manifested in the form of activities to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in our execution of devotional service, we're actually trying to get to bhakti. Mixed bhakti is not bhakti. It is, but it isn't. Why? Because, you know, if you have some sweet rice and someone says, you know, I like a little bit of salt in my sweet rice. You know, because, you know, why be traditional? You know, be a little different. Try some salt. And if you try it, you think, I'll never do that again. So bad. Now, the point is that anything less than pure devotional service doesn't satisfy the heart, the mind. So our goal is actually to come to Ananya Bhakti, that devotional service, which is our nature, pure devotional service. Ayabhilasita sunya jnana kamaranavritam anukulena krishna silanam bhakti uttamam. Srila Rupa Goswami gives that verse in the very beginning, in the introduction of Nectar Devotion, that this is pure devotional service. Free from any desire for gain by activities, no desire for gain through philosophical speculation on the scriptures. It has to be, the intention has to be for Krishna, with a desire to please Krishna. Now, there are demons who please Krishna. Yeah. The demons actually please Krishna. Why? Because Krishna likes to fight. And he doesn't fight with the devotees, because that's not, you know, it's more of a loving relationship. And in that fighting with the demons, they actually please Krishna, because Prabhupada said he gets to flex his muscles, you know. Gets a chance to work out. He doesn't have to join the gym to do it. He just finds a demon and has some fun. That's Krishna. And the demon benefits. So everything Krishna does, everyone benefits, even if it looks like something else. So that's Krishna. But for a devotee, it has to be with the intention to please Krishna. If there's no intention to please Krishna, it actually doesn't come to the standard of real devotional service. So in our execution of devotional, Prabhupada was sitting on his seat one day, and he was, maybe Mother Vishakha was there. This was a very important class Prabhupada was giving, and he said, you know, just become 100% Krishna conscious. Use that 100%, Prabhupada say. And everyone in the audience, all the devotees, were, you know, kind of like a sad silence. No talking, but it looked like nobody wanted to really, you know, okay. And Prabhupada could see it, and he said, all right, 90%. And then he was about to get up. That was the end of the class. And then he could see the devotees still didn't really go for that. So he said, all right, 80%. Just become 80% Krishna conscious. In other words, if you get that kind of mercy, if the spiritual master says you can be 80% Krishna conscious, to Krishna that's 100%. So whatever the guru authorizes, I mean, Krishna goes along with his pure devotee. And then the devotees were still flinching a little. And so then he said, 70% and no less. And he got up. And he walked off the Vyasa. He didn't want to go any lower. But that Prabhupada could see, you know, that. To come to that stage is, you know, it's very, very rare. But that is bhakti, and that would satisfy the soul. Here, liberation is simply, it's simply getting, you give real money to the teller in a store, and then you pay a little bit more than the actual merchandise, and the change is counterfeit money. He gives you that back as far as part of your change. So this is what liberation is. Because it doesn't really satisfy, and it's also temporary. It's actually considered to be, in one sense, material. Because anything that doesn't direct oneself to loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is below standard of the soul's nature. Our nature is to love Krishna purely and continuously. So to come to that stage is actually the goal of devotional service. And how to come to that stage is the process of bhakti. And of course, coming to that stage means to follow the process. And what is the process? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Prabhupada said Krishna consciousness is so, he said, it's so simple, you'll miss it. And that wasn't some kind of like exaggeration or just kind of patronizing our false ego. He was actually saying, it's so simple, you'll miss it. So what did he mean? Chant Hare Krishna. And associate with and serve the Vaishnavas. Because we have to associate with somebody, right? Association is the nature of the living entity's happiness. People who don't, who avoid association, they have to take association of something else. So no one can be without association. Even if they reject all forms of association, they associate with their mind, which is another living entity, according to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So these two things actually are the foundation for Krishna consciousness. Chant the holy name, associate, and then of course in the association we serve Vaishnavas. And hear the discussions on the glories and activities of the Supreme Personality of God. Satam prasangam mama virya sambido bhavanti ritkarna rasayana kata. That this rasayana is so, it's rasayana, which means it's full of ras, it's sweet. It's kata because it's about Krishna. And it gives happiness to the heart and to the mind and to the ear also. So that is the essence of bhakti. Sometimes devotees say, well, you know, what's the essence of bhakti? That's it. Hear and chant the glories of the Lord. That's it. Always. As it says in the in Bhagavad Gita, was it Kirtan? Kirtana Hare Krishna. What is that verse in Bhagavad Gita? Satatam, yeah, thank you very much. Satatam kirtayantomam, yeah. Yatantastat tadalvritaha, yatantastat jamam bhaktya, nitya muktya upasate, yeah. And these are the activities of those who are actually understand the process, but they hear and chant the glories of the Lord. We have so many other things to do, right? We got to do this, and we got to do that. We got to do this, and this needs to be done. And if you don't do it, you know, something happens that shouldn't happen, or something doesn't happen that should have happened. Yeah, we got to do so many. But hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord really opens up the heart and attracts one to the lotus feet of the Lord. And what is the result? One wants to serve. One wants to serve naturally, spontaneously. It doesn't become something that is forced. Liberation is a kind of intoxication. It's kind of a compromise. And but the principle of liberation is also acceptable because it is part of bhakti. In other words, Prabhupada used to say, if you're engaged in devotional service, you're on the liberated platform. There's no need to engage separately for liberation because it automatically comes. And Bilva Mangalar Thakur, in his beautiful prayers, he says, Mukti, Mukti. Even we can add city. All of these things stand at the door with folded hands saying, how can I serve you? Yeah. Bhakti is so powerful. One time, Prabhupada wanted to indicate just how glorious bhakti was. So the devotees were praising Prabhupada, and they said, Prabhupada, you're the best of all the devotees. Prabhupada said, devotee? Oh, devotee. That's very high. Very high. In other words, Prabhupada was showing to become a devotee is not something small. It's actually really, to be a devotee means to be devoted continuously. So we get an indication from the great souls, what is the process here? So mukti is just something that we, you know, we think, yeah, it's nice, but it's not for us, because devotional service is, it is an ocean of unlimited happiness and unlimited knowledge. And so one engaged in devotional service, and as Prabodhananda, it's a beautiful verse, Kaivalya Nanadakase Dham. He also says, Pushpayate, he talks about the heavenly planets as being as flowers in the sky. He calls, you know, like, liberation just worse than death. He's tasting. I mean, Prabodhananda Saraswati is so deep in bhakti that if he hears the glories of any of the manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he becomes unhappy. Now, think about that one. Because all he wants to hear is about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's all. That's all. He doesn't know anything else. Now Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nahyanya, he's Radha and Rani and Krishna both in one manifestation. So he's not an avatar, he's avatar, he's the source of all avatars. He is Krishna. The absolute truth is actually one, but it separates in order for ras, for pastimes, so they become Radha and Krishna. But that same absolute truth, again, manifests itself in the oneness of itself in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So those who worship Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they're on the highest platform. We like Krishna, he's okay. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you can't get any more merciful than that. Even if you don't have any good qualities, he looks for good qualities in you and fans that spark. Look what he did to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Gopinath Acharya, the nephew of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, was criticizing his uncle. You know, he said, you don't know anything. You're standing next to the Supreme Personality of God and you're trying to instruct him. What a fool you are. But Lord Chaitanya was really kind to him. You know, he's like my father. He wants to take care of me. He wants to instruct me. And so he listened. He listened for 7 days. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is talking about the glories of, you know, attaining liberation. The oneness of it all. And then for 7 days after listening to it, and Lord Chaitanya didn't say a word. He accepted him as senior. He was elderly, he was respectable, and he just listened. And after 7 days, Sarvabhauma said, you know, I'm speaking, and I can see you're listening. Don't you have any questions? Nothing? Say something. And Lord Chaitanya said, well, the sun is very bright and very, you know, illuminating it. When it appears in the sky and everything becomes bright. But your interpretation of Vedanta Sutra is like the clouds covering the sun. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was shocked. He didn't expect that. And then he was a little bit taken aback and he said, all right, let me hear your explanation. You think you know better? Because, you know, he was elderly and Lord Chaitanya was just, you know, half his age. And then Lord Chaitanya just explained everything. And then after that, he had nothing to say. So this is, you know, because we actually, you know, because the essence, or the mostly those who are engaged in practice, the goal of devotional, or a goal of spiritual activities is to merge into the Mayavadis. They're Mayavadis. Mayavadi means one who thinks that all living entities are God. I was listening to Prabhupada talk yesterday. He was saying, and he was actually, you know, Prabhupada is interesting. Sometimes he just smashes it, just tears it apart and there's nothing left. This time he was saying, well, you know, you're saying that the living entity is God, and that's okay because we are. But he was saying, we're God-like, and therefore if you say you're God-like, in the same sense, you're God. But we know a better God. His name is Krishna. So we'll take that one, and you can have this other one. And he's also God. So you're a little God, but we're a bigger, we like the real God. So Prabhupada becomes very concessionary in some of his discussions where he, and it was one time Prabhupada was saying, you're Krishna, I'm Krishna, we're all Krishna. And that's all. He kept saying that over and over again. And then the devotees were thinking, what happened? What is he doing? And then Prabhupada could understand, and then he said, well, you know, there are, the absolute truth is a chintabheda tattva. It's one and simultaneously. So Prabhupada was emphasizing the oneness, that all living entities have the same quality as the Lord. And so we can give credit to the living entity in that sense because we are God-like, but not the absolute principle of the source of all living entities. Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. If I sound like I'm tired, it's because I really am. The last week has been, I never had so many programs in one week. And I also found out that I was in a debilitated astrological stage while I was doing it. So just in case this class is putting you to sleep, I apologize. Anyway, just to give you a default principle to work with. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam eko bahuna viradati kama. So the living entity is also nityo and nityanam. It's actually practically the same word. There is one, nityo, and then there is many. That's us. We are the many and there's one. But that one is eko bahunam viradati kaman. He maintains the rest of all living entities. We can't even maintain ourselves. That's our problem. So, therefore, understanding that relationship, you come to the platform of understanding that there's only one thing to do, and that's serve. That's all. There's no other alternative. To merge, to try to be, you know, all of these are ultimately completely opposite of our nature. Although there is some gain in those areas, but that gain is simply temporary, and then it's lost in due course of time. So we don't really accept. And it'll go on, and Lursavrabhoma Bhattacharya will explain why he changes the verse. And I wanted to make another point, because, you know, that's my nature, is to criticize. So anyway, is that this principle of not changing verses, sometimes we do that, and we don't even know we do it. I was discussing with one very senior devotee from America. His name was Dravida Prabhu. We all know Dravida. He's very scholarly. He's with the BBT, and he does so much scholarly work on Prabhupada's books. So I said, well, you know, what is this? Vrindayai Tulsi Devai Kriya Priyai Kesavastacha Krishna Bhakti Pari Devi Sachavachayana Mahonu. We were always taught Vishnu Bhakti, and now devotees are saying Krishna Bhakti. So what is it? He said, actually, this is what he told me, that Prabhupada had said that it's Vishnu Bhakti, but Tulsi is Krishna Bhakti. She is, obviously. And if you compare it, she's more Krishna Bhakti than Vishnu Bhakti. I mean, that's a logical, philosophical. If I'm wrong, just let me know. So, but we say, sometimes we say Krishna Bhakti. So I asked him, and he said, yeah, that came up when Prabhupada was here. And Prabhupada said, yeah, but you can't change the verses in the Shastra. And that's what Lord Chaitanya is also saying. It says Mukti Pade, but you're saying Bhakti Pade. Because that the verse is actually Mukti Pade. Yeah, that's the point. So that's the only thing I have come across with devotees. We somehow or other say Krishna Bhakti. But as far as I know, and from what I had heard, it's Vishnu Bhakti. It's the actual written in the Shastras. So though it appears to be less than Krishna Bhakti, it is actually what we should accept. Can't change the Shastras. There's a reason behind that. So obviously, what is the reason? I don't know, to be honest. Okay, so is there any comments, questions, or corrections? Yes, Prabhu. Antaranga?
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj, for the very nice class.
Sleepy class.
My question is, how can we reconcile that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave such a mercy to a Mayavadi, yet our acharyas in our sampradaya are, you know, headed by like Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and Srila Prabhupada, very much like cutting the Mayavad philosophy. Yet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu shows such a mercy that he actually changed the Mayavadi's heart into a bhakta.
Yeah.
So how can we take that as a point that how can we take this kind of a mood and meditation rather than destroying the Mayavad philosophy, changing the Mayavad philosophy to bhakti understanding?
How should we do that when we face that similar situation? Well, generally, if you're actually coming across a philosophical Mayavadi, generally you stay away from that. Because it says just to hear that philosophy is, you know, Krishna, Lord Chaitanya says, Mayavadi Krishna Parade, that they're actually great offenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we avoid that. But if someone is not, you know, actually adopting that philosophy but has Mayavadi tendencies, then I think it's our duty to somehow point out that there is a better understanding of the absolute truth, which is more correct. And it's easy. The easy point is that person comes from person. The absolute truth is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Mayavadis accept person, or the impersonalists accept person as a manifestation of the impersonal. So they say that when the unlimited Supreme Absolute Truth wants to appear in this world, assumes a material form. So, but they say that is simply material and is coming from a higher source, which is impersonal. We say no, and that comes up in this discussion, that the Absolute Truth is a person, and his energy is impersonal. Because personal and impersonal are two sides of the absolute truth. They're both important. But the source of the impersonal is personal, and not vice versa. And you can, that's a logical argument, because we are persons, and we are coming from the Supreme. So how can we be more than the Supreme? And that Prabhupada said, how can person be created from imperson? But the Mayavadis have their arguments for everything. That's why we call their philosophy, we don't call it philosophy, we call it foolosophy. Because they try to fool everybody, and they're also fooled. Yeah, so that's the basic, simple, acceptable argument, is to try to explain that from person comes person. Of course, their argument is that the all-pervading is more appropriate to the absolute truth, because the absolute truth is everywhere, where person is localized. But they have, that's the material understanding of personality. It's Krishna's personality, although he is a person, it contains all aspects of the absolute truth, including the impersonal also. This is where, you know, they use that argument. Personal is limited and impersonal is unlimited. But when it comes to Krishna, his personality is also unlimited. He can appear in so many different places in his personality. He can manifest himself in unlimited forms of himself and be the same one personality. And that is achintya. Achintya means that which is not logically argumentable. You can't really come to that stage by argument. It's accepted. It's simply accepted that that's the part of the nature of the Absolute Truth. It becomes chintya, it becomes conceivable when you become God-realized. But trying to explain that before you reach that stage, it remains a chintya, inconceivable. That make sense? Okay, any other questions? Yes? Yeah, the mic's on the way.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the wonderful course. I just wanted to ask something a little technical. In the beginning of the verse, the purport, Prabhupada says that in Siddhaloka, merge demons who are killed by Krishna, or people who wants to get liberation. So my question is Siddhaloka same as Brahmajyoti?
It's interesting because it's mentioned here that it says in Siddhaloka, and then the next word is Brahmaloka. Now, we know Brahmaloka as Satyaloka and not Siddhaloka. It sounds like Siddhaloka is just another realm of the higher realms. But here it's given, you know, as an analogous word for Brahmaloka. He said, in Siddhaloka, Brahmaloka, there are two types of living entities. Those who are killed by the Supreme Lord, and they were demons in previous lives, and those who are fond of enjoying the impersonal effulgence of the Lord. So these.
So is that the same like Brahmajyoti, Siddhaloka? That is confusing me.
Any pundits out there? Oh, yes, okay. Kartik, thank you for being here. Can you answer that question? Yeah. Sorry, I didn't see you earlier.
Hare Krishna. Siddhaloka is the same as the Vaikuntha Loka in the top sphere, right beyond Brahmaloka.
Mm-hmm.
And that is mentioned in the fifth canto commentaries, that Siddhaloka is another name of
the Brahman effulgence.
The Brahman effulgence, where the Brahman effulgence begins, that's where the Siddhaloka is.
It's simply a term.
It's simply a term, yeah. It's different from the Siddhaloka, which is there in the Antariksha, which is
heavenly realm.
Which is heavenly, yeah. Which is before this, you know, below the Swargaloka.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different Siddhaloka. But that is where the Apsaras, the Vidyadharas.
Right, and the Siddhas.
The Siddhas, yes. So that's different to this Siddhaloka, which is as good as Vaikuntha, but not Vaikuntha. Because it's the beginning of the Brahmajyoti.
So the answer to your question is yes, the Siddhaloka and the Brahman effulgence are the same. Yeah.
But there are two different
Siddhalokas. Yeah, there is two Siddhalokas, but it's not indicated here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you. Thank you for your nice class. It's interesting, the question of Krishna Bhakti and Vishnu Bhakti came up in yesterday's class. So Prayojana Prabhu,
he said the same thing?
He said there's a Shikshamrita letter he found where Prabhupada uses Krishna Bhakti. So he came downstairs just now because I checked on the folio and I couldn't find it. And so he came down this morning and he showed it to me and I've got a photograph of it. I don't know the full letter, but it says, I am given here with three mantras for Tulsi Devi as follows. And then Vrindaya Tulsi Devi, I pray, Akesha Vasisha, Krishna Bhakti Prati
Devi. Welcome to ISKCON. There's too many pundits.
Actually, points out, you've given another anecdote where Prabhupada said, keep it as Vishnu Bhakti, so it's been interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you for Making it even more unclear. All right, I'm not going to argue that point. Well, anyway, Krishna knows what you mean, so that's what counts, really. Yeah. It's the bhakti. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the class. There was a point about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You were saying in the middle of the class about how the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were saying, Krishna's okay. Prabodhana Saraswati was thinking, just let me hear about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Yeah, he rejects hearing. Not rejects, he's not interested in any of the other manifestations of the Godhead. He only wants to hear and glorify and serve Lord Chaitanya. He had Lord Chaitanya's personal associations, huh? Mm-hmm.
So is that a different mood from what we're doing?
Because Lord Chaitanya represents Sri Vrindavan Dham. So he's Radha and Krishna is one. Yeah. Now, when sometimes you see on the altar, you'll see Radha and Krishna, and then you'll see a deity of Lord Chaitanya right next to Krishna. You don't see Nityananda, you just see. Just to show that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radha and Krishna are non-different. But there is an element of Adarya. The Adarya mood is there in Lord Chaitanya. Daya means mercy, extra mercy. So he gives extra mercy. So when we approach the Absolute Truth through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we're actually approaching it in the way that it is authorized by the Shastras, and there's more mercy available. If we tried to go to Radha and Krishna without Mahaprabhu, we will find it very difficult, practically impossible. Mm-hmm. Impossible.
Mm-hmm. So we can say we want to please Krishna and we want to please Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Both would be non-different, saying that.
If you please Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's no different. Yeah. What pleases Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare. And what is the Maha Mantra? It's Radha Krishna. That's what it is. He's glorifying Radha Krishna. Now, you might say, well, there's Ram in there. So, we glorifying Ramachandra? That mood is acceptable, but for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, it's only Radha Krishna. So they understand Hare Rama is Ramana, which is Krishna is Radhika Raman. So that's their mood, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. The whole mantra is simply Radha and Krishna. And for those of you who are in Aishwarya Bhav, you can go for, you know, Lord Ram. He's there. Yeah. Yes. Right behind Mother Vishaka.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the class. You were mentioning in the beginning how the demons please Krishna.
But they don't want to please Krishna.
Yeah. So I was wondering, so can we please Krishna without having the intention of pleasing him?
Can we please Krishna without trying to please him? Yeah. But it's not bhakti in its fullest sense. Yeah, we can also do that. We might do so. There is a jnata sukriti, unknowingly performing devotional service, which may be pleasing. And that benefit also is there. Yeah, so you can please Krishna like that. And that is the goal, ultimately, to please Krishna. But Rupa Goswami is giving the complete understanding that our consciousness must be directed in that mood of wanting to please Krishna. You know, just like, I'll give you a kind of a loose example. A husband's working, the wife is, you know, she's home and she's preparing the evening meal for the husband to come home, and she's thinking, you know, I'm going to make something I like today. And so he comes home and she offers it, and he likes it. But her intention was to make something she liked. But somehow he got some benefit from it. When she makes something that he likes with the intention to please him, there's more love there. The love is there. Or the affection, the desire to please, which is the mood of love. It may not be there when we perform the activity, although it pleases Krishna. That affectionate mood is not part of the activity.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay, thank you. Yeah, Brahmachyoti liberation. There's two kinds. There's merging into the body of effulgence of the Lord and merging into the body of the Lord.
Because for the other types of liberation, you need prema. You cannot reach the other types of liberation without prema.
I'm sorry. I'm a little tired today, so if you speak a little slower, I can understand you. I'm just like not here. The microphone's not working either.
No?
Okay. No, it's working. Okay. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
So they said that Krishna gives liberation easily,
right,
but he doesn't give prema easily, because when he gives, right, prema, like the devotee kind of like owns Krishna, no?
It's, yeah, like, Krishna becomes, you know, captured by.
So when they are saying that, are they referring to the type of liberation that is like to the Brahmajyoti? Because for the other types of liberation, I guess you require prema.
No, prema is completely above liberation.
Above that.
Way above, yeah. Prema, yeah. Prema is the ultimate principle of the soul's relationship with Krishna. And there's a liberation, even in Mayavadis, or even the demons can get liberation, or any kind of liberation. Even that liberation that is considered to be Vaishnava liberation. Yeah. But still, it is not pure. There is still that element of having, because, you know, if you reach, you know, prema bhakti, then you're back with Krishna in the spiritual world. Anything less, you may also attain, as Prabhupada generally said, it takes two births generally to get to, you know, the spiritual world. But you can go with the liberation of being with Krishna on one of the planets in the material world and associating with him, or even having his opulences, or even having his transcendental form, just like the Vishnu Dutas when they came for Ajamil, they looked just like the Supreme Personality. The only difference, they don't have Lakshmi. Yeah, so there's many kinds of liberations, but only when there is pure love. So when you want to find pure love, you have to go to those devotees who have that, and they're the eternal associates of the Lord. They show us what pure love is. The gopis of Vrindavan, the cowherd boys, Mother Yasoda, like that. Or any of the residents of Vrindavan. That is the mood of pure love. Hare Krishna, thank you. Okay, maybe we should stop because of time. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai.